time is the second most valuable resource you have. Of all the resources you have, time is the second most valuable resource. The only resource more valuable than time is salvation.
You may already know how to give good gifts to the ones you love, but if you ask them, they'll tell you there's no present like your time. Hello, and thanks for stopping by for this Monday edition of Destined for Victory. You know, our time on earth can be measured in two ways. The first is our lifespan, which is different for each of us. The second is the number of hours in each day, which is the same for each of us. Today, Pastor Paul Shepherd reminds us that learning how to use our time wisely as good stewards can help make our relationship with God and with others all it was meant to be. So stay with us now or visit PastorPaul.net to listen anytime on your schedule. You can also subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your programs. Now, here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message. Do you have the time?
Today, I want to resume the series I started several weeks ago on stewardship. The first part of this series, we looked at the fact that money matters. Money matters. And I spent two messages talking about the fact that money matters to God. It's got to matter to us because He made us stewards of His financial resources. Now I want to move on and talk about the fact that time matters. Time matters. We want to talk not only about how God wants us to manage our money, which we've done. I now want to talk about how God wants us to handle and manage our time. Our time. There are four basic points that I made as we were talking about the fact that money matters. I said that the way to be an excellent steward of our financial resources is to do four things that I want you to note. To sow generously, to shrink debt systematically, to save regularly, and to spend wisely. The reason I'm reviewing those four points is because the exact same points apply by principle to the management of time. We are going to have to learn how to sow it. We're going to have to learn how to shrink obligations that we shouldn't have made in the first place with our time. We're going to have to learn how to save time. The Bible calls it redeeming the time, buying back some time. And then we're going to have to learn to invest or spend our time wisely. So let's walk through this. Where I leave off in this message, I'll just pick it up. Not going to rush because we need to learn to be excellent stewards of our time. Time matters. Let me talk a little bit about the value of time. Time is the second most valuable resource you have. Of all the resources you have, time is the second most valuable resource. The only resource more valuable than time, and technically it's not a resource, it's a gift God gave you, is salvation. Salvation is the only thing more important than time, where your stewardship is concerned. And the reason, by the way, that salvation is more important than time is because it transcends time. When I give my life to Jesus, when I receive Him as my Savior, when I acknowledge my need for Him, and I trust Him that His work on the cross was sufficient to pay my sin debt and to make me a child of God, the moment I do that, time cannot impact my relationship with God. If I get saved one moment and die the next, I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. So salvation is so important that the moment I get saved, I'm set literally for eternity. Whether I live or die, Paul said, I belong to God. So I don't need time. I'm going to be with Him, whether in this life by having more time or when my time here is up. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But everything else I have depends on having time. time is more important than money. Because if I lose money but have more time, God can give me some more money. You got it? If I lose my gifting, I lose my way and I'm not using my gifts right, God can bless me to be used in some other ways. I've seen folk who God gave a wonderful voice to, but because they abused their lives before they get saved. Have you ever heard somebody who used to could sing? Come on, now think about it. There's some folk, in fact, there's some entertainers who used to could sing. And they still singing because they don't know that the presence of the Lord has been lifted. You know, I'm being facetious. It's not the presence of the Lord. Many of them have abused their voices through drugs or cigarettes or alcohol or whatever it is, just loose living, what have you. And there's some people, and you hear them sing now, and you say, what in the world happened? Some singers, the best thing you can do is play their old records. Isn't that right? When they were in their prime. But even if you abuse one set of gifts or talents, if you have time, there's some other ways God could use you. But you need time to do it. So time's more important than money. Although money's important, time's more important. Time's more important than gifts and talents, which we'll talk about after we get through with the time section of this stewardship series. But gifts and talents and money are not nearly as important as time. A friend of mine was at the bedside of an extremely wealthy man as he was dying. He knew he was dying. The doctors had told him, you only have days to live. And he was bitter and angry. And she said, I happened to be there with a few folks visiting this man when he, in desperation, grabbed his doctor and said, I will give you everything I've got if you will make me well. In that moment of desperation, the man realized that all of his multiplied hundreds of millions of dollars meant nothing if he was about to die. Time is important. Second most valuable gift we have. The value of time is seen in one of the basic theories upon which our justice system was conceived. Now, it doesn't work right and it doesn't work well anymore. But when they conceived our justice system, it was based on a premise that valued time. And as a result of that, we've all come to know little phrases like, if you do the crime, you got to do the time. Because the justice system was conceived on the premise that the way we can penalize a criminal best is to rob him or her of the free use of their time. The justice system didn't say, if you do the crime, you're going to have to pay some money. Not as important to people. Because if a criminal made a whole lot of money being a criminal, and all you do is say you got to pay, bet, got that right here. But the one thing they knew they could do is restrict their free use of time. And they built a whole justice system on it. Major crimes were originally designed to be paid for by doing major time. The system's broken now, and it all depends on who you go in front of, what jurisdiction you're in. How in the world do you have some folk rotting in jail because they slung dope? And then you have murderers get out on probation. This is a broken system. It's why I don't believe in a lot of what they do in this system, because until men's hearts are right and until we decide that God's word is right and it's the way to govern so that we can have uniform governing, there's a whole lot of these laws and these statutes they try to put in place that I will always be against, because until people treat folks fairly, no need of you calling it a justice system. People say, well, are you for capital punishment? Well, capital punishment isn't the problem. The problem is the way people abuse it. The system originally was built so that a capital crime could be punishable by capital punishment. But today you'll never get me to sign off on it because you got folk who haven't done anything wrong, had some false witnesses set up against them, and now they sitting on death row somewhere. And meanwhile, guilty folk just riding all up and down the streets. That's not even in my message. My point is that the very justice system was based on the premise that time is the best way to punish people, to restrict their free use of it. Therefore, how we manage time is critical. It is very important.
You're listening to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. He'll be right back with the second half of today's message. But first, this reminder. If you haven't already, be sure to download our free mobile app so that you can listen to Destined for Victory right in the palm of your hand. The app allows you to take notes on the day's message, order books and audio messages. You can even make a safe and secure donation to the ministry. Search Destined for Victory at the App Store and download it today absolutely free. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible known as the Pentateuch, but he also wrote a psalm, one that warns us that our lifespan is short. Here one minute, gone the next. Here's Pastor Paul again with the rest of today's message. Do you have the time?
Now, with that foundation laid, go with me to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm 90. And let's look at verses 10 through 12. Now, this is a psalm of Moses. If you're new to your Bible, sometimes people assume that all the psalms were written by David. Not true. There were several different authors of the psalms. Psalm 90 was authored by Moses. Here's what it says in verses 10 through 12. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, Moses, who authored this psalm, uses generalization simply to point out the brevity of life. He says, generally speaking, it looks like folk are living 70, maybe 80 years. That's all he's doing. He's just looking at lifespans in his day. Some folk die a lot younger. Some folk die a lot older. But generally speaking, he said, we're looking at 70, 80 years on average. And he alludes to the fact that the fearsome God, when you see him talking about the power of God's anger and his wrath is as great as the fear that is due him, he's simply noting the fact that we all have to give an account to a fearsome God. Now, this is a man writing prior to the cross. He's looking forward to the cross, as did everyone in the Old Testament dispensation, that there'll be a day when God's wrath is settled in the person of Christ on the cross. But before that day comes, he's simply pointing out to his Old Testament audience in particular that we have to give an account to a fearsome God. In other words, don't take God lightly. And even we who are New Testament saints, God's wrath has been satisfied in Christ. But that doesn't mean you can take God lightly, because you got to give an account to God one day. And although we're not paying the penalty for our sins because Christ took that on, we will stand before him to be judged for our acts of righteousness. And not everybody's getting the same reward. See, we're all going to heaven, but not everybody's going to get the same reward. And I want heaven and a good deal of rewards. I want heaven and some hookups. I don't know what heavenly hookups are going to look like, but whatever they are, I want to be faithful to God in this life so I can be blessed of him and used by him in the life to come. So verse 12 says, so Lord, teach us to number our days aright. that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, how to make our time count by walking in wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That begs a question. How much time do I have? How much time do I have? I want to submit to you that there are two answers to the question. They will seem to contradict each other, but they're both true. Write the first answer to the question. How much time do I have? The first answer is, you don't know. Write that down. You don't know. Or make it personal. I don't know. You don't know. He said, look like folk are making it 70, maybe 80 years, but not everybody does. And it's not a one-to-one correlation always between your lifestyle and your length of days. Sometimes your calling calls you to live a shorter life. Look at people whose callings have put them in dangerous situations. Soldiers, law enforcement officers. They want to live a long life too, but their very calling sometimes puts them in the line of fire. Firefighters, for that matter. And various other persons, their profession, their calling is hazardous. Missionaries who are called to very dangerous parts of the world. They love God, they're saved by grace. But there are many missionaries who lay down their lives today. I'm not talking about back in Bible days. No, today there are missionaries dying simply because they went somewhere to let people know Jesus saves. And they ran into a hostility that resulted in the loss of their lives. And it's happening today. There are parts of the world today where all you'd have to do is just go and be a vocal Christian. And you are subject to lose your life. But Jesus told us it would happen. He said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you too. That's why you got to rightly divide the word. I know we got a whole lot of candy store theology out here. Whole lot of people acting like you can just speak it and claim it and possess it and blab it and grab it. And you can tell God how many years you're going to live. No, there are many other factors. Your calling can shrink your days. Look at people who just fight for justice, and their fight for justice puts them as the target for certain people. Martin Luther King Jr. never saw his 40th birthday. Think about it. He never saw 40. In his late 30s, gunned down. President Kennedy, some of the things he stood for, caused people to resent him and caused one man, or whatever the conspiracy theories are, y'all get into that. I'm not getting into all that. But caused somebody to want to gun him down. In the prime of his life. And on and on and on. So, listen, the first answer to the question, how much time do I have, is I don't know. None of us know. That's why it pays to be ready. And you who don't even have a dangerous calling, you live in a dangerous world. Come on, somebody, you live in a dangerous world. You live in a world where somebody can be angry on the freeway. They haven't done you wrong, don't even know you, but they out there full of anger and they have a hair trigger. All they need is one wrong thing. You accidentally cut them off. You weren't listening. You in there singing praises to God. Got your praise and worship music on and you turn without the signal and they're coming up on you and they screech. Some of these folks so mad, they got a gun right there in the car. Some of you live in neighborhoods that are dangerous. There are lots of factors. I know we plead the blood and we're believing God, and that's what we got to do. We got to trust God for life. We got to trust God for safety. But you have no guarantees other than the guarantee you find in Christ, which is to put your hope in things eternal. Yeah, that's not me. I'm healthy. Do you know healthy folk are dying every day? I told you, my doctor in 2012, my doctor, I visited him in the summer of 2012, and we were talking about my weight loss plan and all that, and he was affirming me, and Pastor, I'm proud of you, and what about that, and stick with this and all that. And 2 weeks after I walked out of his office, young, healthy, in his 30s, thin, good-looking Indian man, wife, little babies, dead 2 weeks after I walked out of his office. You don't have to be sick to die or know you're sick. He didn't know he had something that was going to kill him just 2 weeks after we shook hands. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to sober you. You can't afford to take life for granted because life has many factors, many elements to it. I jog every day. You can die jogging to the health food store. Doesn't mean you shouldn't go. It just means that you got to put your hope in things eternal. And you got to pray and you got to trust God for every day of your life. So that's the first answer. I don't know how much time I have. Now here's the second answer. It's going to look like a contradiction, which is I know exactly how much time I have. How much time is that? I have 24 hours every day, except the last day I live on earth. Think about it. I know exactly how much time. I have 24 hours this day, unless this is the last day of my life. So on the one hand, I don't know how much time I have because I don't know when that last day is going to be. But until that last day comes, which is the unknown, and don't fool yourself, God's not going to reveal it to you. I got friends who have super measures of faith. I'm believing God to tell me the last day I'm going to live. Okay. I don't think you're going to make it, but okay. Because not only don't we know the day or the hour that the Lord is coming, we don't know the day or the hour he's coming for us. But I do know until he comes, until that last day, I know exactly how much time I have. He's given me 24 hours every day. There'll only be one exception, and that's my last day on earth.
Managing our resources can sometimes be a difficult challenge. If you're struggling in this area or any area of your life today, the Destined for Victory Ministry team would be happy to pray for you. Stop by PastorPaul.net and use the Contact Us feature to share your request with us. That's PastorPaul.net. And when you contact us for prayer, be sure to ask for your free copy of Pastor Paul's monthly newsletter. When you do, you'll receive monthly communication from Pastor Paul delivered right to your inbox. Well, our mission here at Destined for Victory is a simple one. We want to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. And because we know so many of you share that desire, Pastor Paul invites you to help by sending a special gift today. Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, so as God leads, please prayerfully consider making a generous donation. And when you do, be sure to request this month's special offer, Pastor Paul's booklet, Built on a Solid Foundation. You know, Jesus never told us we could avoid life storms, only that with his help we could withstand them. In Built on a Solid Foundation, Pastor Paul explains the importance of building your life on the Word of God, and he describes the blessings that come from that kind of life. That's the booklet, Built on a Solid Foundation, our gift to you today by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory. Call 855-339-5500 to give over the phone, or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also make a safe and secure donation from our website, PastorPaul.net. And thanks in advance for helping keep Destined for Victory on the air.
The first thing I want you to know is, just as with money we're called to sow generously, the same principle applies to the use of your time. What does sowing generously look like with my time? Glad you asked. It means sowing quality time into what I call the seven habits of highly effective Christians.
That's tomorrow when Pastor Paul Shepherd shares his message, Do You Have the Time? Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.